my God, you're in the vending machine.
Wow, Sherlock Holmes deduced another miracle. Oh, congratulations, genius.
Well, hello, consumer. Yes, hello, consumer. Ba, 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 da, ba, biba, cola.
If you want to join this vigilante murder group, go to the vending machine and buy two candy bars.
And I say to myself, I need exact change.
Oh boy, it's Encyclopedia Brunch. We're back.
Wow, what kind of brunch did you say it was?
It's an Encyclopedia Brunch.
Oh, the most educational of the brunches.
Yeah, exactly. And the tastiest of encyclopedias.
Yeah. No, I guess so. It's just occurring to me now that this encyclopedia is made out of bacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then all the writing is done in fat strips inside the bacon.
So popular bacon these days.
My name is Tim Dobbs. With me, as ever, through a series of wires.
Hi, in person, live and up in your face.
It's Catherine Kogert.
Catherine Kogert here with Tim Dobbs.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've covered the bases.
All right.
Oh man, where you been?
I was over here. Where were you?
Oh, I was.
I've
over...
been looking for you.
I was in the other corner,
uh-huh.
Looking the other way.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Mm.
I got you that second pair of glasses to put on the backside of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been wearing those?
No, I've mostly been using that as a way of, tricking predators.
Right. Yeah, because the predator thinks that you're looking at them through your hair, kind of Cousin It style.
It's not like predators are that smart.
Can Cousin It see?
I don't know. I guess I always assumed it was kind of an echolocation thing.
But he wears glasses, right? Or are those sunglasses?
They're just to look cool, I think.
Okay. Or maybe it's because it's like blind people wear sunglasses?
Yeah, like a signifier.
Why do blind people wear sunglasses?
Again, like a signifier.
Okay.
Just so you know, I'm blind.
For predators.
Yeah. As always. This is why, you know, this is why I wear anything that I wear.
Everything is for predators.
Let's see.
Everything I do for you, I do for you, Predator. Please, man. Enjoy my next R&B album. Everything I do for Predator.
Some people really liked Alien versus Predator.
Uh-huh.
Me, I really liked Alien Loves Predator. A porn parody.
Ah, gross. Gross, yeah. Start to this return.
Oh, it wasn't a porn parody. It was a delightful rom-com.
Fun. Okay, now I'm back. You won me back.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're back. And
what are we here for?
Well, we're gonna pick a topic and learn about it and talk about it in a breezy way for about 30 minutes.
That is the pitch.
Yeah,
now let's all we have to do now is deliver on that pitch.
Let's make good on this. What are we talking about this week?
We're talking about vending machines. Is that all right with you?
It works for me. We already got the clip package together, so
so it's 90% done.
Yeah, this is the work.
It's all easy sledding from here. Is that a thing people say?
Yeah,
easy sledding.
It's definitely what they say up in the Iditarod races and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, the Iditarod, known for being easy.
It's real easy sledding from here. That's what they say at like the very end.
At the race. Oh, okay.
The end of the race.
Okay,
they're like,
yeah.
Oh, we did it.
Yeah.
Easy sledding from here.
Only killed 3 dogs.
Oh,
sad.
It's sad. But a lot of those dogs don't die. So so we've got that.
Pretty good.
Why don't we get back to vending machines? I think a lot of those clips at the beginning are self-explanatory. I think perhaps one of our favorites is not. Maybe could you explain Bebop Cola?
Oh, sure. I mean, for those who aren't in the know, Bebop Cola is a fictional brand of cola. From a fictional vending machine that exists on a fictional deep sea research station known as Sea Lab 2021. Mm-hmm. I believe the first animated venture by one Adam Reed, who is now the showrunner for Archer.
Yeah, this was Archer, Frisky Dingo.
Frisky Dingo. And before all that, there was C-Lab 2021.
This was when he was an intern at TBS in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And was like, no, well, we own all the old Hanna-Barbera rights.
Yes. So
sure, why not? We'll make something together.
Yeah.
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 So.
So was born Bebop Cola, which is a fictional brand of cola, which only includes just sort of puns off of jazz musicians' names, such as Mingus Dew, mm-hmm. Mango Reinhardt.
That's pretty good.
I think Ella Fizzy Gerald is one of them.
I like how the puns don't quite work.
It's pretty good. And don't forget Plain and Diet Plain.
Yeah. Is that like elevator music jazz, or what's plain jazz? What's jazz for the non-adventurous type?
Is it what's his face? The fellow that people always make fun of.
Yanni. No.
Close though.
Kenny G.
Kenny G, yeah. Yeah, that's the fellow that people always make fun of.
It must be, is there anything else where someone is a virtuoso, far and away the best at their craft?
Yeah.
Like the soprano saxophone.
Yes.
And yet is still basically a laughing stock.
I hate to keep it in the musical arena. Uh-huh. Yo-Yo Ma.
What?
People love to make fun of Yo-Yo Ma. And his name's so funny.
It's just the name thing, though. I think his music, they actually, like, people really respect. No? No?
Note that you said respect, not enjoy.
I'm sure some people do. I just don't find myself listening to cello music
on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, although it sounds kind of nice now that you say it out loud.
Well, we'll see.
Have it after a brunch.
Or don't. I don't care.
So, vending machines. Has any vending machine ever lived up to a Bebop Cola vending machine for you?
No, not for me. Nothing really approaches the heights of comedy, late night Cartoon Network Adult Swim comedy in the early 2000s.
No, there's no vending machine that's like, this is kind of funny. It'd be really funny if I was stoned, but like, it's definitely kind of funny. You haven't had to come across a vending machine like
War
that?
Or 12.
Yeah, it's a similar statement. Are there any standout vending machines in your life, though, that you have been vended to from?
Do you remember the first time?
Oh, yeah, the first time's the best time.
Saw that one kind of beverage vending machine, Coca-Cola beverage vending machine,
yeah.
With like the special arm.
Arm.
Oh, the robotic arm that goes up and down and it slides. And
yeah. It's got a sort of parallel, a part that runs parallel to the ground, right?
Yeah.
And that moves up and down and you collect sodas from any of them. They're all arrayed as though it's like at a convenience store.
Right.
And then there's another slidey part that like is a cup holder essentially, and that slides across that arm.
Yeah.
And then they drop it in to the slidey part, and then it slides back to you.
It's a nice vending machine, is it not?
Seems like a waste, doesn't it?
I was thinking about it as we were preparing for this show. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of that is around trying to keep you from dropping the soda and making it all fizzy.
True. But we got along for so long with just that chunk chunk.
Did we? Yeah. Was that living? Would you call that living?
Man, I mean, my entire childhood was essentially full of any store visit being like, oh my God, I got my hands on a quarter so I can buy some
soda.
Go to
the Gashapon.
Yeah. And so just like that chunk chunk I associate with like satisfaction of like, ooh, a thing. I'm getting a thing.
Yeah. You ever find a quarter like in the store and you're like, this is it, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really? That's a big day. Big day for a little Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. That cha-chunk is definitely very unnerving. But, like, I don't know.
So
was it
violent.
Really a problem? Was it fine? I feel like mostly you'd get soda and it was fine.
I think it's more about the consumer experience when you put that, then, you know?
Fair. Which I think is, yeah. I think that newer, more, you know, robot-y looking vending machine is definitely, it's just fun. It's a fun experience.
Right. Yeah. You're present the whole time. Also, soda's gotten so much more expensive in our lifetimes.
Well, so's everything.
Is there a great carbonation drought or something?
Let's see. CO2 comes from, nope, doesn't check out.
Feels like we're making more of that stuff.
Yeah, pretty doable. I don't know, though. You get the Soda Stream. You buy those individual packs of Soda Streams. I was doing the math on fizzy water.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, like, you got to have fizzy water.
Yeah.
And you save a little money if you buy the CO2 to fill your Soda Stream. But, like, when you just buy water from the store, it's not much more expensive. You can buy an equivalent amount of water in cans from the store than you can, as you can make using a CO2 canister and a Soda Stream.
I remember doing the math on this myself and finding that it was a little bit cheaper.
It's a little bit cheaper. A little bit cheaper.
Also, it's on demand. It's not like I've opened a bottle. And now that bottle's going to go flat, and then I pour out that bottle. Because you know that's going to happen a few times. No,
so what you need to do is you need to buy many, many, many one-ounce bottles. And that way you have close to exactly the amount you need.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds really good for Mother Earth, Tim. Do you even care about the planet?
No. I care about carbon dioxide and fizzy water, which is on the planet, so in a way.
Ella Fizzy Gerald.
I don't know. I don't know why things got more expensive. Maybe all the money's going into, you know, they say this about college tuition, right? Like it's gone. College tuition has gotten more expensive by orders of magnitude more than inflation. And they say it's because, like, well, it's an experience now. Like, you don't just get the education. You also get, like,
drunk.
Well, I don't think the college pays for that directly, although I'm sure in some cases. I went to a public school, but I hear at private schools, these things happen. I'm trying to start more rumors, really bring down those private schools a peg.
Yeah, definitely.
But like they say, like, oh, well, it's because, you know, the gym has to be state of the art. And like, you know, the student union needs a million flat screen TVs and stuff.
It does seem to need a million flat screen TVs. Most of them are off most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Or they're just displaying a static image.
Yeah, a static image of, I guess, today's agenda.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. But or sometimes, like, it's just a picture of the mascot.
A reminder that there is a student union meeting in 2 weeks.
That there is a student union.
What? Who? You mean this building? No, it's also a meet. You know what? Never mind. You paid the money and that's what's important.
It won't affect you.
But maybe that's why vending machines, maybe that's also why soda's more expensive. We're paying for the experience of using this fancy vending machine.
We really are. We really are. Mm. What's the weirdest thing you've seen in a vending machine?
Gosh, the weirdest thing. I think it probably depends at least a little bit on, like, what counts as a vending machine. I've been past some novelty vending machine at some point. But the only thing that, like, the only, like, weird object I can think of is, like, oh, you know, you go into certain bars, like, old-timey dive bars, and they have the old-timey, like, you know, like, weird condom dispensing machines.
In the gentleman's?
This is a thing in the men's room.
Okay, yeah, we just get tampons.
Oh, see, that's sensible.
That's all vending machines at bars are about, plugging up vaginas.
Yeah, it seems like that. Hey, why don't we come back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch? Encyclopedia Brunch. Yeah, ta 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 ta. Talk
there,
about
that was just music theory. We don't need more music.
I wanted to bring it up a notch. That music was so chill.
We want people to stay relaxed.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've been saying this for Tim. I've been saying this for Tim years.
It's hard to know what that means.
I've been saying this for years, Tim. I just want us to be the next thing you fall asleep to.
Yeah, that's a pretty good goal.
No, hey, everybody, I hope you're asleep right now. So you didn't ask me about the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a vending machine.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
I don't know. Nothing that weird.
Really? You didn't get any weird, like,
I guess maybe, you know, like the
Dominator
egg.
Condom or something like that?
No.
Ah, it's all gross. What? I don't think anyone buys those. It's all novelty.
No,
now.
I don't want to. I don't. Yeah. No, I'm good. I guess maybe like an egg. You know, the hard boiled egg.
Oh, yeah.
Seems weird.
I get those sometimes.
Are they good?
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, it works. They're not great, but they're pretty good if you are very hungry and you want like something that is not a, you know, Cheez-Its or like a Snickers bar. You want like, I want something that kind of feels like a meal.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of protein. And if you can get a little salt packet, sometimes they come with that.
Sure.
Put that in there.
Okay.
And you got just like salt on an egg. It's pretty good.
All right. All right.
I get it. It feels weird.
It does feel weird.
But like, you know, whatever.
Do you really trust it?
I've eaten enough.
So that's the thing that can spoil. So I'm going for the Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its don't spoil. Cheez-Its are eternal.
This is true. I think it comes down to, do you trust the vending machine?
No.
Well, yeah. So the vending machine is like, it's like a replacement service human, right? Like the vending machine is there because a shopkeep is not. This is not an RPG where you just like roll up and you're like, why is there a dude selling me goods just outside this like dungeon? There would be a vending machine there in real life.
I don't know. I think it's fun the different ways that video games use to figure out how that happens naturally. But that's a different podcast.
All right. We'll put a pin in that. But I think the tendency naturally is to be like, I don't know. The chain of trust has been broken.
Yeah.
Don't trust
robots.
Yeah. And so I think it really comes down to like you start to then read the environment and everything. If it's in a gas station, no, I would not be getting the egg. Thank you.
Airport.
Probably not. Depends like where in the airport it's situated.
Okay.
Seattle-Tacoma International Airport has a little nook. There's like old phone booths and stuff there and a vending machine.
Nah, that's a no.
Yeah, I tried to buy some shortbread cookies there once and it ate my change. So like, no, I'm not going to buy anything from this.
Right.
Yeah. But if it was like...
What about the ferry?
The ferry. Like on the ferry or at the ferry terminal?
No, on the ferry.
It gives me pause, especially because on the ferry, you can go to, depending on the ferry, Washington State ferries, and also some of the ones in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's like a cafe and the guy runs it, you know?
No, I'm talking about the vending machine, though.
Yeah, and I'm saying
usually
I have
also a vending machine.
I have the option to go to the guy,
right?
Unless I just want a Snickers,
or the line is quite long.
Yeah, there's. That line.
We're still talking about eggs specifically.
Okay. Yeah. Again, no. So I'll tell you where I do get an egg.
Yeah, because we've officially gone through all the places where I would consider approaching a vending machine, and so it sounds like don't buy eggs at vending machines. Catherine is my takeaway, but maybe you can shed some new light on this for me.
So there's two places and they kind of work in tandem. So I took a class last spring at UC Berkeley Extension.
On vending machines, really? Yeah,
exactly. So get ready, lock and load. We're going to learn all about vending machines. No, it was about biochemistry.
Oh, that's much more important.
Well, I don't know. Is it? certainly not for my vending machine trade certificate I'm trying to get. I don't know why the biochemistry class.
Don't know why you took that class. Yeah.
You know, it's like the insulin levels for people and stuff.
Right.
Like, that's important to understand if you're going to vend optimally.
What happens to those eggs when they spend too much time in the vending machine?
You know, it's funny, actually. In the biochemistry class, I did a whole bit on how they've unboiled an egg protein.
Yes.
Using a fun little vortexing tool, you can remix the proteins. So maybe I could apply it to my future vending machines.
It's still going to spoil, though. That's boiled or unboiled.
So the thing is, they've got a little vending room up there. It's the San Francisco campus. There is it's in a skyscraper. It's two floors of the skyscraper.
Okay.
One of the floors has a little room full of vending machines. They've got the kind of soda vending machine you mentioned.
Ooh.
They've got the kind where you put in money and then you like rotate the platters, almost like an old-timey pie platter thing, except the door only opens like to allow access to one thing at a time. And then once the door closes, then you have to pay money to open the door again. Is this making any sense?
Yeah. No, I know that. I Those are always strike me as too confusing.
They're a little
and
confusing.
And also, I just want Cheez-Its because they are eternal.
So this class was like an evening class for 3.5 hours or something crazy. And so sometimes I would like, I didn't eat enough of a dinner and there's no way out. Like, and we have a 5-minute break. I'm going to run up here and see what I can get. And the eggs is a great way to kind of fill that. And that room I found trustworthy because a lot of traffic, a lot of foot traffic moving around, a lot of people in that room because everyone who like, you know, on a break or whatever, there was also a microwave for like reheating whatever you want.
Okay.
You know, very classic kind of like, you know, student union before there was like flat screens and a cafe in every student union when it was just literally like, here's a room you guys are allowed to hang out in.
Sure.
Like that's what it felt like to me. And I felt like, yeah, it was traffic enough. It was clearly restocked regularly.
That's the key for me.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I also read the dates on
it. Did you buy the egg?
Yeah, and I ate the eggs. They're good. The other place I get them.
Yeah.
And this I think is also interesting just for like, these newfangled vending machines, what's their deal? There is a place at my work.
Okay.
There is a company that has presumably paid some money to put in a branded fridge at the work.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The fridge has you know, a magnetic lock on it, and you swipe your credit card to open the door of the fridge.
Okay.
Everything inside the fridge has an RFID tag on it. See our episode on RFID. And then you take whatever you want out of the fridge, and you close the fridge, and it figures out what was taken out, and then it refills it. It charges your card.
Okay, I was going to be like, it does what?
Yeah, and then the pneumatic tubes refill everything.
And then it harvests the correct molecules from the air.
Naturally, powerhouse plays.
To make more Cheez-Its. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and so they restock the eggs, and because it's like a clear door, so you don't have to open it unless you want to get something.
Yeah,
like I know when the eggs are restocked, and I don't buy from this fridge that often because like I don't like this whole deal of this stupid fridge.
Right.
Well, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I just want to eat some like real food, and
you just
like
want an egg.
I don't want to like leave the office because I just need something to get me through.
Right.
Yeah, I'll just grab these eggs.
Just grab it.
Yeah. So these are the places that I would eat these eggs.
All right.
Eggs are fine. I say go for the egg, but like trust your gut too.
Not on that ferry, I won't.
Mm. Yeah, hard to know.
That's
about
the
ferry. That's
a sea egg right there.
It's soaked in brine. That's pickled. It's preserved.
You're not just going to like get some seawater, put your food in that, and be like, oh, it's preserved now.
I shouldn't anyway.
I appreciate your candid honesty on this podcast.
I guess my question for you is that fridge thing I described.
Yeah.
Is that a vending machine?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know, man. A hot dog's a sandwich. Why not?
Because words mean things, Catherine.
I know words mean things, but why do they have to be such dicks about it? Like, what? Words mean things. Yes, I understand. But like, we can wiggle with it a little bit. We can do a little samba with the meanings of words.
Yeah.
That's how we get somewhere new in language, you know?
That's true.
We have
via
to be flexible.
Samba.
The English language is ever evolving, is it not?
Is the English language ever evolving? Yeah. I guess it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big thing. Yeah,
we're all talking about frenemies and stuff.
Right? Is that an OED yet? Frenemy?
I think it was the word of the year at some point. Merriam-Webster.
Really?
They're the more prescriptive group.
Okay, gosh. I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, let's think on it still feels though like we're going to need a different word from vending machine at some point given the bold new future we're going to in humanless service technology.
To vend is to sell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a machine that sells you.
Maybe we'll stop calling them machines. We'll start calling them like androcons.
Frenemies.
Yeah. All right. Frenemies.
Well, your two best frenemies will be back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch.
Thank you.
back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about vending machines, vending you information about...
This is all free.
It's not vending then.
Distributing.
All right. Well, I'll stop trying to force you into playing with words. Since you've sort of adopted a sort of generous, expansive definition of a vending machine.
Hot dogs are sandwiches.
Take me on a tour through the wide world of, what else can be a vending machine?
Well, of course, you have Japan that's, like, famous for all its different kinds of vending machines. Mm-hmm. You can find full meals in there. There's that whole rumor that I did not even bother to look up because I found it too depressing about used women's underwear being sold in vending machines. You know,
this is a family show.
This is a friendship show.
This is a friendship show, yeah.
But
if our motto is anything, it's friendship over weird sex rumors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about friendship over fetish?
That's on my family crest.
Is that good? Is that good? Friendship over fetish?
I think that's a different Latin translation from bros over host.
Yeah, that's something.
So Japan, known for lots of different kinds of vending machines. Diversity in vending machines is what I would call it there. But there's also all these weird edge cases of vending machines. There's like, if you go fishing, you can buy bait out of a vending machine. I think that makes total sense.
Yeah, again, because there's not going to be a guy selling stuff on near this dungeon or near this lake.
Just like I think of him as an old fisherman, long white beard, maybe a yellow hat. He kind of looks like the logo for Beard Papa, if you're familiar with Beard Papa.
Yeah.
A cream puff store.
I was also thinking of the Gorton's Fisherman, but they're basically the same. The Beard Papa is just more cartoony and fun.
Yeah. Or maybe the Ivar's guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's another option. One of those, I bet they work together. One of those two guys comes out every week, refills it with fresh worms and stuff.
How do they keep the worms alive?
I think they die after a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they starve the worms.
Yeah. That's why they have to come out every week.
Right. Okay. Okay. So somebody comes, fills this in.
Yeah. Fills it in. You're good to go.
And then, so then I, as a fisherman, I'm out by the lake, by the wharf, or whatever it is. Not a wharf. A dock, I guess. And I just see this box where I'm like, oh, I do need some. And then it just drops worms into a bucket for me. Or
yeah. Or like you get out of your car and you're like, I forgot my bait. I'm going to have to go all the way back to my fishing shed, dig up my worms from my compost.
Right. Sounds like a downer.
Yeah.
Very convenient to just have it there.
Yeah. You drove far to this fishing spot.
It's a convenient form, the vending machine.
Yeah.
It's a very handy box. Do you think the worms come out like into a container you provide? Because I feel like this is a real divide in vending machines.
Spits out like a pile of worms.
Well, yeah, I mean, because like, so there's those vending machines that if you order coffee, it'll like drop the paper cup and then fill it.
Uh-huh.
When I was in Spain, I noticed that they have vending machines in like the center of town that just like you pay for the milk and it will just pour milk out. You bring your own jug.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the peanut butter things in like a health food store.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a bulk item thing.
Yeah.
Do you think the worms are like that?
No, I think that they have them in like basically the thing that they sell eggs in. You know, it's semi-hard plastic on one side and then it's sort of like stretched plastic over the other side.
Are you not talking about an egg carton?
No, they don't sell the hard-boiled eggs in a vending machine.
Oh, we're talking about the hard-boiled eggs. Okay.
Yeah. So they take out the hard-boiled egg and they put in a worm.
Yeah. I see. Okay, got it. It's a sealed bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, reasonable. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that would be my idea.
So what else? What other...
Cool vending machines?
Cool vending machines. Give me Catherine's hit list of cool vending machines.
The pizza vending machine?
So this is like the paper cup, right? Like a paper plate drops down and then a paper pizza pops down.
A paper pizza?
Yeah.
No, this is a real human pizza made with flour.
Humans. No. Oh, no.
Well, I mean, the thing I've read here just says water, flour, tomato sauce, and fresh ingredients. That could include humans.
Yeah. The freshest ingredient.
But yeah, it makes it all right there for you. And you can kind of watch it cook. And it's not unlike what I imagine the inside of a Domino's to be like.
Oh, yeah. Or at least the way they show it on the online ordering thing.
That's, you know, certainly what it looks like, yeah.
Just kind of moving through a conveyor.
But, you know, it is just kind of like a thing in a conveyor belt. That's all it actually.
Yeah. Huh. Does it spray, like, the sauce and stuff? Like, how does it get it all? Is it making the dough fresh? That's crazy.
Yeah, it makes the dough fresh.
Wow. Huh. Why don't we even have Domino's anymore? Just get this vending machine.
Yeah, that seems fine. I guess that mostly they're a delivery service.
Hmm. Domino's, right.
And they're in that vicious battle with DiGiorno's.
Okay, so if I can step you out of the weird, wacky, wild world of vending machines.
Sure, yeah.
Just for a moment. Mm-hmm. What about, like... All right, so there's a lot of talk about Amazon drone delivery, right?
Sure.
Assuming drone delivery is possible, given the degree of automation that we know of in the rest of Amazon's logistical pipeline.
Right.
Is Amazon a vending machine?
No, I think that it needs to be on site.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a delivery service, I would say, first and foremost.
Okay, so one thing about vending machines is it is a storage locker that you can buy things from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That beats... So the whole pizza thing kind of makes me feel like...
What is the whole pizza thing?
The whole pizza thing makes me feel like... yeah, at a certain point, you're replacing a whole store, you know? Like,
yeah.
It feels different than...
Here. Can't buy breadsticks, though.
Can't buy breadsticks. You're right. And I
can't
need those.
Can't buy me breadsticks.
Everybody tells me so. Okay. I guess you're fine. You've convinced me. I like the on-siteness of it.
Can't buy Cinetwists.
No.
Can't buy cheesy bites.
Well, maybe this is all work we need to be getting onto.
I think so.
Okay. So what else? What other crazy vending machines?
There's the Moldorama.
Right.
Have you ever used one of those before?
No, I never have. They're like
what
a thing.
Do you know about a mold?
I think they were invented in like the 70s, I want to say.
That looks about right from this picture I saw from the Pacific Science Center, local Seattle Children's Science Museum.
it's a general science museum. We've just unfortunately
foisted science upon children.
Yeah, learning is for kids is much of our culture's message.
Is there anything to the idea that, like, we know that STEM, science, technology, engineering and mathematics, that these things are so important, but we don't want to do them because they're kind of hard.
I mean,
are they for nerds? I don't think there's any stock in like STEM careers being harder than other careers.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that's true.
No, we're all just trying to get by.
Heck yeah, we are. But they do have a reputation. Like, people don't like doing math.
Yeah,
you know, but math has a bad reputation.
Yeah.
So is there anything to the idea that we've sort of foisted STEM upon children because we're like, I want to do it. You do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not a parent. But I think there's also a lot of pressure to, like, you know, it's one of the things that is good for kids, supposedly.
Right.
But like, yeah, you don't want to do it because you're tired. Like,
I am so tired.
Yeah. So I think parents, you know, people step away from that just because... Whatever. What does this museum have to do with me making sure, you know, like, the next paycheck comes in and whatever?
More than you might think.
Yeah. I do.
Yo,
like
Pacific
the idea.
Science Center. Hire me.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Hire Catherine.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know a ton about them. Stuff You Should Know did a whole episode on this. Great podcast, Stuff You Should Know.
Really?
Yeah. They were really excited about it, but basically it creates a mold on site. Not unlike the pizza making machine. It's an injection molding machine that, like, makes a figurine for you.
Cool.
And it does it right there.
Oh, that's cool. Kind of like the penny flattening out machine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they kind of go in similar places.
Okay.
Because as much as we want children to love science, what they really love is, like, breaking things and, like, you know, little machines that make stuff. Novelties. Yeah.
I'm sorry if we've talked about this on the podcast before. The penny flattening machine.
Mm-hmm.
Does your penny actually get flattened?
As far as I know. I don't know. I haven't issued a full study. I mean, I haven't read the Blue Ribbon Committee report. But I'm pretty sure I've watched the penny go in and it just gets crushed.
Yeah. It seems also very reasonable, like possible to flatten out a cookie or a cookie. I think if you put a cookie in there, that would get flattened out.
I think so too. I don't know if the mark would last, but I think you'd definitely get a flat cookie.
To flatten out a penny, like that seems like reasonable. This is something when I was a kid, my dad would always be like, yeah, sure, I'll buy you a flattened penny, but you know it's a scam, right? They just have the flat pennies in there.
I don't, what a horrible scam that would be. Like, if you think it through, it's like, yeah, we'll get all those pennies.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. And also, like, in hindsight, I don't really care if it's a scam. Really, the flat penny is the cool thing.
Yeah.
That you get afterwards. It's kind of like those, my dad also says this. He's like, oh, wrestling's stupid. You know, that's fake, right? Which is kind of like saying, like, oh, soap operas are dumb. You know, those people aren't really sleeping with each other, right?
Movies, who needs them? None of those people are doing those things.
It's basically like being the aliens from Galaxy Quest.
Well, your dad sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But in other ways.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I meant it sarcastically in this case, but earnestly in other cases. So, I don't know. Any other crazy vending machines we should cover?
Oh, fun. How about a fun little throwback one?
Oh, yeah.
The airport. So at airports, like in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. you could buy a life insurance policy right there in the airport for your loved one who's going on the plane.
Right. Because that's a tin can up in the air. Who can trust this?
And it's like a penny or something.
It's a penny for the insurance?
Yeah.
Is that a lot in
the 70s? It's like a $62,000 policy or something.
What? Okay, so the idea was not to make money on the insurance. The idea was to make people feel better about flying, in a way.
No, I think it's also to make money.
On a penny? We just talked about how the penny flattening machines are, like, not worth it.
That's for a piece of paper. A piece of paper is...
How many do you think they're selling? I don't know. Let's look into the cost of goods sold here.
Oh, I think a lot back then. Because nobody trusted air travel. Because it's a tin can up in the sky, like you were saying.
Yeah, I did just say that. You've got me there.
Just there, you said that.
But then it became so safe. That's sort of weird because, I mean, the 70s was the time of airline hijacking.
I think, yeah, there was some airline fraud that happened. Mm. Like one domestic terror, like one package. One like kid gave his dad a gift. And the gift was just explosives.
Whoa.
And a lot of people died. I don't know why I'm laughing.
That's horrible.
It's awful. Yeah, but yeah, he got the life insurance policy.
So. Oh. Is that fraud?
Yeah, that was fraud.
Because he caused it.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, rest in peace, all those people.
Yes.
But having said that, I guess my dad has this theory. He works in insurance and specifically in like IT security.
Yeah, a lot of dad talk in this episode.
Yeah, it's our dad episode.
Hey, dads! That's the dad-isode.
Yeah. You know, obviously, he can spin a million funny tales, of course, being in IT security for an insurance company.
Sure, yeah, let's laugh a minute.
But he really does have a very good insight, I think, in this one particular thing. He was telling me about how basically the concept of fraud has evolved with technology. So like the first like wire fraud laws, or we get mail fraud first, like shortly after the mail system is developed.
Right.
And then once we have, you know, the telegraph and like phone systems, and then eventually phone systems that are... you call a call center instead of calling a person. You know, you don't just call Andrew Carnegie because he's the only other person with a phone in the city.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
You think everybody, after a while, like a year into phone mania, like everybody just dialed 4?
Yeah.
Let's call old Andy.
Yeah. Stop calling me. Bother Rockefeller.
He's 6.
But you can kind of trace the fraud law along with all that, you know, all the way up into the internet age where like everything's so anonymized that like basically we spend half of our time just trying to figure out ways to like prove that people are who they say they are on the internet. And so like the vending machine really plays right into this because like if you were to go talk to somebody in person to buy that that life insurance policy, you know, they might ask a couple of questions.
Yeah.
They'd be like, so are you carrying anything explosive? Do you know any, you know, like whatever. Any liquids? Did you pack your own bag?
Right.
Whatever. I don't know. So like my dad's whole theory is that like the human element was like, it's all these ways we weren't realizing we were checking each other for fraud, like by making eye contact and by just like getting the vibe of someone.
Right.
It's sort of interesting. Like we talked earlier about that trust being broken because you can't get the vibe of a vending machine. So you're just like, I don't know. It's a weird box in a weird place. I don't trust.
That's very true.
Yeah. So I think
there's something to that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You want to go be Luddites? Project for the week.
No, I think instead, well, I'll counterpoint you. I like your idea. What if instead being Luddites, you know, focusing on community and each other and eschewing technology, we make the technology have googly eyes so we trust it?
Yeah, let's work on making fake biological eyes. Frankenstein style.
Yes, yes.
Project for the week.
Except it spits out soda.
Or poison.
Well, I'm excited. This is going to be a great project for the week.
You're going to get this DARPA contract after all.
All right, here we go. X Prize. The prize is to, you know, the
make most fake eyes.
Yeah. Well, and dispense soda.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, until next week with our, that's coming to you with our diabolical new invention. It's me, Catherine Kogert.
Oh, and I'm Tim Dobbs.
I forget how this goes.
Bye.